tables, hotel streets, and ships that sail. We swim with sharks and fly with aeroplanes in the air. Sitting in the tram, it's the marching wheelchairs. Open the blankets and give them some air. Swords and arches, bones and cement. The light in the dark of the innocent of men. We know your house so very well. And we'll wake you once we've walked up all your stairs. There's nothing like living in a bottle, and nothing like ending it all for the world. Living life will end your life. Kid has a homecoming, the champion, the horse. Who's gonna play drums, guitar, or organ with chorus? As far as we walk from both ends of the sand, never have we caught a glimpse of this man.
That was the amazing Cat Power. Lived in Bars. And that was another Lynn Jackson pick.
Hello.
Hello. She's Hello. Back. She's back. This is great. Yeah, you should, you know, either come and be my co-host again or get your own radio show.
I would love to come back. This is fun. I'm usually off on Wednesdays.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let's do this again soon.
Yes, I think we should. I think this is great. So before that, we played Dr. John, Big Shot. And why is that one of your favorite songs?
Because it's, I think it's very tongue-in-cheek.
It is.
You're never gonna be a big shot like me. I think it's funny. I think it's very soulful, too.
He is very soulful. I do.
And that album was produced by the guitar player from the Black Keys. Oh. I can't pronounce his last name, though.
Oh, okay.
Otherwise, I would. Oh, but
didn't know that.
And the great thing about it is that instead of playing a lot of traditional piano, he had him play, Dr. John play a lot of organ on that.
Uh-huh.
So he took him a little in a different direction, which is always, you know, I think it's always good to work with somebody new, like I did on my last album with Chris Boyne. From Sex Dwarf.
Yes.
Just
because
it takes you out of, it gives you a whole new perspective on your material, right?
Yeah, very true. We're going to, I need to ask you, because you have such an eclectic, I mean, everything from Soft Stars, which is, I love, Same Sun, I love Devil, I love Don't Go. Speaking of organ, there's organ on that song.
On which one?
Don't Go.
Oh yes,
from Soft Stars
and Chris Giesbrecht. Yeah,
yeah. We're going a little bit back here to some of your earlier work, and from Coming Down, I love the ride.
The murder ballad.
Yeah, it's kind of cowboy.
She gets him in the end.
Yeah, good.
She got him at the beginning, and then she gets him in the end. It's kind of a twist.
It is. It's great. And I love Coming Down. You're from Coming Down, which was the last album you did before Down in the Dust. But you're kind of this voice that I've added to my sort of daily sort of music.
Nice.
You know, sort of like, oh, I feel like this, so I should listen to Lynn, and that kind of, you know, extenuates, or it's an extension of my feelings.
Oh, you
know,
that's a huge compliment. Thank you.
I really like that.
Thank you very much.
I got to rewind back here. I have to know this stuff. Oh, I love Crazy Lady, too.
That's Night Mark's song. Favorite song from the very first album.
From Night Songs.
From 2004.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, is this based on someone? I don't know.
It actually was.
Okay.
Do you want to know the story?
Yeah, actually, I do.
Okay, well, back in 2003 and 4, I used to go to the Circus Room open mic. I went to a lot of open mics before I started playing regular bars and stuff. I think my first show ever was at the bar side of Gatsby's Diner. In like 1999, 2000, the owner liked me from the open mic, so I got my first gig there. But then I met all these other people, including Matt Osborne,
who
ran the Tuesday night open mic at the Circus Room. Yeah. And well, anywhere within a certain radius of downtown brings interesting people, and the Circus Room was one of those places. And I just remember walking in one night, and there was this older lady sitting at the bar, and she just had this kind of rickety voice, kind of like I have now, only magnified. But and she's like, "Hey, honey, how are you?" And I just sat down at the bar, and I got a beer, and I just sat there, and she was with a friend, and I listened to their conversation. And anyway, I didn't know her at all, but it inspired Crazy Lady, and I hope that's okay. I know you just pick up your inspiration from wherever, and then you go with it. So you know, it started out with I met this crazy lady at a bar, and then I wrote this entire song, and I made up this entire story about her, and I don't know anything about her, but just that one encounter what it all came out of. So there you go.
I remember that. I mean, the Circus Room is now a tattoo parlor. But I remember the Circus Room, and I remember the open mics. And actually, the first live palindrome session I did at the old, like at Bauer Warehouse, I did with Matt Osborne and a friend of mine, Margaret Williams, who played accordion. So I remember Matt.
Wish I brought some of his stuff. I have all of his CDs.
Yeah, we could call him up on YouTube. I need to go back. What song was it that made you want to become a singer?
Oh, there's no one particular song.
No, I didn't think so.
If you go all the way back, all the way back to when I was really, really super young, I think, you know, when you're a kid, when you're a young kid, people are like, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" And the first thing that I ever said was a singer. Okay. I think I was probably 6 at the time.
Oh, man.
I was ridiculously young. My parents listened to country and western.
Okay, yeah.
I brought and some my mom was a bit younger at the time, so she also listened to some 70s hard rock and soft rock. Mm-hmm. And so that was in the mix as well. But probably around that time, my favorite singers were Dolly Parton and Kenny Rogers. Islands in the Stream is just awesome for me. And you know what's funny is that Feist and the guy from the Constantines did a cover of that a few years ago. It's actually pretty cool.
I know that song.
Feist is around the same age, and I just thought, I wonder if she had a similar experience.
Well, it's like, what did I play recently? Lydia Lunch did a remake of Some Velvet Morning by Nancy Sinatra and Lee Hazelwood.
Okay.
So, you know, there's these gems that you can get, and you can sort of totally reinvent them, which I think is great.
Absolutely.
I kind of answered this question, but when did you begin singing? I guess like from the open mic nights. Okay. This is basics. How do you write? I love asking people this. How do you write?
Well, you see, it's a very scientific process. Working at a newspaper on deadline can be very stressful.
Yeah.
Especially within the last half an hour. Now we put out two papers. We also put out the Guelph Mercury.
Okay. So, oh God, I didn't know
that. we put together two papers. And so by the time I get home at 12:30, I just want to unwind, find a way to unwind, because you can't just go home after that and then go to sleep. You're too wound up and you've read so much stuff and you want to put your head on a shelf and just not think about anything. I need noise, any kind of noise. It doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah, I get that.
Give me small talk about whatever. Your band, it'd be great. Yeah. Anyway, so if I'm not gonna go out and try to catch the tail end of a show, then I go home and pour myself a nice glass of wine, and I either put on music or I start playing my guitar. And I just find that the more often that you put yourself in that situation, and you know, it's all quiet, nobody else is around, nobody's listening, it's your time, and you can do whatever you want with it. And that's when, you know, it's often I'll be listening to an artist and I'll get an idea. It could be a chord progression, it could be a song lyric, it could be something, and then I'll play that song over and over again, or I'll shut it off and then I'll just start writing like mad. And that's how it works.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it could come from out of nowhere, but a lot of times it's sparked by something that's happening. Like either you're out and you see something, you're out shopping for something, and you see an exchange, and then you think about it, and it stays with you all day. So in a weird way, it's like emptying your head at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And then you put all that together, because not everything is great. Not everything is brilliant.
Yeah, true.
But, you know, you follow it through to the end, and then once I've collected a number of pieces of material, then... You know, there's no rhyme or reason. That's when I have enough songs, that's when I go into the studio. And that's why some of my albums are so eclectic, because
they're very eclectic.
I don't think that there are any rules.
No,
there are no rules.
When in the creative process, I agree there's no rules.
And right.
Do you find it hard sometimes? Or not? Maybe not. Maybe you don't find it hard.
I go through months where I couldn't write a song if my life depended on it. And I'm okay with that. I just let it go.
Yeah.
And I just do what I do and rehearse and practice my songs for my shows, and that's all good. And then it will happen eventually down the road. So I don't freak out about it. And then when it does happen, like a couple of years ago, it happened all in about a 2 month span, 3 month span, I had all these ideas. And I have tons of demos at home, too, of, like, there are about 5 or 6 songs that didn't actually make it to this record that I may keep, I may throw out, I may rework, I've already written other stuff, too, so it's just an ongoing process, and by the time a record comes out, usually you've got another one in your head. That's the way it works.
You have some kick-ass... Yes, I can say that on the radio. Instrumentation.
I said ass.
I said kick. You have kick-ass instrumentation in your songs.
Thank you.
From cello. Hi, Nick Storing, if you're listening. to accordion. To mandolin.
Pedal steel.
So who are some of the guys that, you know, play in the band? And I know you have a hand in production as well. And... and also Corey Barnes, who's a longtime pal of mine. So,
oh, that's awesome.
Oh yeah, he's amazing. You guys are, and you're a great team because
I finally found the guy that I want to record with for the rest of my life. Sorry, Corey.
Yeah, you guys are great.
You're it. I'm coming back.
you guys are great production team. So, how does the instrumentation in your songs work? When you take, do you take the song to the guys and they go, okay, or what do you do?
No, I am too much of a control freak for that.
Oh, okay.
Well, because everybody's busy. And most musicians in my band work jobs.
Yeah.
Like day jobs or night jobs or whatever you call them. And so this is my project. This is my baby. And I think about the songs and I have an inkling in my head of different instruments that would sound good on the songs. So whereas I could never write a pedal steel part, I could never write an upright bass part, I could never write a lead guitar part.
Right.
I just have good friends, and I'm glad to call them friends, that I call into the studio, and then we just go. We just go from there. And I say, you know, I just trust you, and I trust your judgment, and I know that you're a great player, and just do what you feel is natural. And then, you know, once the process starts to happen, if like in this last instance, Corey and I, we would talk in the recording room about, well, maybe it should go a little more in this direction, or maybe a little bit more in this that direction. And the great thing about the people I play with, which is Dwayne Rutter on guitar and banjo, Aaron Powell on piano and percussion, Chris Boyne on guitar and harmonies, Mark McIntyre played upright bass, and he was absolutely stellar. And Steve Wood on pedal steel, who also plays with Stony Lonesome.
Right.
The great thing is I can just be the kooky, crazy one that says, you know this song? Give it a little bit of that vibe. And then it's like we're sharing the same brain, and they know exactly what I'm talking about, which is really hard to find with people.
No kidding.
Yeah. And then, and like, yeah, he totally gets it. And it always has worked out that way. So I'm lucky.
You've had a solid sound from the beginning. Your voice is like so, it's so soothing, and it can be kind of, you know, soulful.
Edmonton's View calls it whiskey and honey, which
whiskey and
is,
honey.
That's yeah, a well, pretty good
whiskey and honey is pretty cool. It's kind of raspy and
soothing at the same time.
Soothing and sensual. It can be playful. It can be, you know, there's theater in your voice at times when you need it. You're a great storyteller. There's a duet on Down the Dust.
Yeah, it was the title track that
you played.
That's right. It was Chris Boyne.
It's Chris Boyne.
Who sings harmonies with me.
Yeah.
He fronts a band called Sex Dwarf, who are just about to release their very first album.
Hey, Chris.
And it is going to be on Busted Flat.
Yay. You know what? Busted Flat, I just want to give
BustedFlatRecords.com.
I just want to give out a shout out to Busted Flat because they're a very successful independent Canadian record label. And I have a great roster of artists. So I'm thrilled that they're, you know, here right in town, right down the street from me, actually. Right.
You can credit that
away.
To Mark Logan.
I can.
And he kind of knows what he's doing.
He kind of does know what he's doing.
If he doesn't, I tell him.
With all his artists, he has a really good idea what he's doing. I just want to go back to instrumentation for a minute. Is there another sound that you would like to add? If you could add another musical instrument, what would it be?
Probably more a banjo.
Yeah.
I picked up a banjo on the road on tour with Dwayne Rutter a year ago in June, and I haven't had time. I mean, if I worked till midnight and then got up at 8, I'd probably have time, but I'm not going to do that. But I'd like to learn more banjo, and I'd like to learn more electric guitar, but there are people that do that stuff so well. So I don't really think about sounds until the songs are written.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think of the mood of the song, and then I add the production ideas later. So I don't go out looking for a sound.
It just sort of comes to you, basically.
Yeah, it just
organically.
It suits the song. Yeah. It has to suit the song.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right. That it shouldn't be extra to the song.
No, that makes perfect sense, actually. Mm-hmm. What else was I going to ask you? Is there someone you'd like to duet with? Someone you'd like to sing a duet with if you had a chance?
Elvis Costello.
I love Elvis Costello. Oh, my God. He's heartbreaking. And favorite song of yours and why?
A favorite song of mine.
Of yours.
And a favorite why? Song of mine. Oh, I have been asked this before, and I would say my favorite song of all time is Hold On by Tom Waits.
Okay, I've got some Tom Waits with me, actually.
It's on Mule Variations.
Oh, I've got Black Rider. I've got Black Rider with me.